Welcome to the Morning by Morning podcast, where we discuss faith, relationships, and life advice. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite cozy drink and start the day with us. Welcome back. Good morning. We have two guests today. First is Micah. She's been on here before.
Oh, hey.
My sister, Micah. and also Casey.
Hi.
Casey was my roommate for years, and now she's Micah's roommate, actually. So we'll see whose roommate she's going to be next in her gratitude.
Yeah.
first let's actually just share what we're grateful for, and then we'll talk about.
Mine's the most service level. So this is Micah. I am grateful for dinner together. We had Panda Express, and it was delicious.
It was good.
It's a favorite all around.
It is.
I am grateful for being on spring break when we're recording this. I'm pumped. I get to spend time with these guys and just chill.
Ladies, you meant.
I meant these ladies that I'm spending time with.
I'm jealous of spring break because mine's over and I miss it a lot. But I am grateful for my fiancé, Carlos. He's from El Salvador. Yay. And he just got here on a K-1 visa. So
yes.
Super fun.
Love
just
it.
Having him here.
That is a really good one.
Yeah.
So we all have something in common. We were or are teachers, and we have some thoughts to share about this. We don't want it to just turn into a bashing teaching
disclaimer.
Session. Go ahead.
No, mine was going to be negative. Never mind.
You can be negative. We're going to share our experience.
Oh, I was just going to say, teaching is hard, don't do it. That was my disclaimer. And if you are a teacher, we apologize in advance.
We appreciate what you do.
But honestly, like in my free time, I love listening to podcasts about teachers.
I watch videos and listen to stuff too.
Yeah.
So maybe if you are a teacher, stay around.
Yeah. I feel like we just need to hear that other people are in the same boat.
And I enjoy hearing that. Mm-hmm. That other people, I'm like, oh, I'm not doing so bad. This person's also struggling.
Right.
Yeah.
And other people in other jobs may relate too. So yes. Even if you're not a teacher, you can still listen.
That's true. Yes. So I think what we will do is just briefly, let's say, okay, if you guys want, you don't have to share why you got into teaching if you don't want to. But I think if you think of why you got into teaching, what you've taught, and for how long, let's just start there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go. Okay. So Micah first.
Okay. I taught 4 years. I did one of second grade and three of kindergarten. And I already forgot what we were all saying.
Just why did you decide to become a teacher?
Oh, well, I'll say a family friend was studying to be an educator. And we talked about opening up our own little daycare school thing.
I didn't remember
and
that.
I think that's when you were off teaching somewhere,
okay.
Doing your summer away.
Okay.
But yeah, ever since then, I was like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. I should do that. So it wasn't anything exciting besides someone I admired was doing it and was like, you should do it. So okay. That is all.
Casey.
My mom is a teacher. And so I have just grown up around school and being at school after school. And I was the kid who played teacher.
Oh, yeah.
So like, I've never considered another profession. Like I've just always known that I wanted to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I've always dreamed about being a teacher. Like it was just, I can't think of anything else I would want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I can think of other things now, but like when I was young, right. Like before I was a teacher, I was like, even trying to think of a backup plan, like what if teaching doesn't work or I don't like it, what else would I do? And I was like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's just all I've wanted. So I, after college, taught in a university English prep course for a year. Then I went to Honduras and taught for 3 years in third grade and also a random middle school math class.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I came back from Honduras, I was in Illinois in third grade at a Christian school for 2 years. And then now I am teaching sixth grade in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So
you gave so many details. I feel like I,
do you want to go back?
No, it's okay. I just feel like it messed up.
No, it's all good. There's no right answers here. Okay. So for me, I was like you, Casey, where I grew up thinking I'm going to be a teacher. That's all I didn't have a backup plan either. Mm-hmm. I remember playing school. We literally, in our basement, we had desks and, like, a chalkboard. I don't remember why we had that. It wasn't, like,
I don't know. I think Dad got it for a job or something.
Yeah. So we had a whole little classroom, and I remember playing teacher and wanting to give people homework. I'm like, I want to grade the homework. I want to put stickers on it. No, but like when I got older, I actually was very inspired by our high school teachers because we had really, really good teachers. They really invested in us. I felt like, wow, they're really making a big difference in my life. And one of my teachers who I also admired went to the college that I went to, like, he talked it up, and that's partially why I went there. And so I was like, I want to do that for people. Like, I love learning. I love school. I want to help other people enjoy that too and grow. So I also very briefly, I forgot until you said that, I briefly taught at the university program and then taught in China for a year. And then when I came back, I had two part-time jobs. I was tutoring and I was an aide. And then I taught middle school for 1 year at one school and then have taught 3 years at the school I'm at now. So also middle school. So done several ages. I forgot to say when I was an aide, it was in a preschool. So quite the age jump. Yes. So we've got a variety of locations and ages. So I think we should just share, like, within the job, as we were experiencing it, what were some pros and cons? Or maybe even, like, we can share that, but maybe even just, like, what you experienced, like, with what you expected going into it. Because we all had these reasons, like, we're going to go be great teachers, and we'll explain later where we're at now. but, like, maybe just explain some of, like, what the reality of teaching was like. Okay. I mean, we can kind of jump in, but I think you can share some of your experience.
Okay, thinking through pros and cons, biggest pros and cons.
Yeah.
Biggest pro is summer. Yay! Summer vacation. I mean, honestly, the schedule of being a teacher is ideal.
Yes.
Because, I mean, well, I'll touch on something else that's part of my cons list. But pro is holidays, you always have off. Summer, you get a nice vacation. Spring break, like, that's definitely a perk.
Christmas.
And even just hours during the day, like working from 8 to 3 or whatever your school hours are, is pretty ideal. But a con that's kind of along those lines is that there's so, like, I feel like to be the most influential or, like, to do the best teaching job you can, it requires so many more hours than just 8 to 3 or 8 to 4 or 8 to 5. Like, I feel like there's more bringing work home. Yeah, and sometimes I'm really envious of people who don't have to bring work home.
Yes.
I'm like, I would love to just leave work at work and not think about it, but it's impossible.
You can if you would like to be prepared, literally walking in the next day.
Right.
You know, is the problem.
Yep. So that's one of the biggest ones that I thought of is just scheduling.
Okay. I would also say scheduling. It's nice to have, those built-in breaks. But yeah, like Casey said, they're not always breaks, and many teachers have multiple jobs to, like, compensate for stuff. But another pro, I would say, is just the relationships you're able to build with your students. Kids are just, they're crazy, but they're also really fun. And, like,
you're never bored.
you're never bored, especially, like, I have a lot of kindergartners, and you just never knew what was going to come out of their mouth. Like, you're going to learn some family drama. Mm-hmm. They might say some insults about you or other, like,
they're very honest about your appearance,
but then they're also just super nice to you, and they give you the best compliment. So you got the balance of it. And we're saying a con too, or
just a pro.
Sure.
Either way.
I don't know if we were spending more time on that later.
I'll just stick with however much time you want.
I'll just stick with the pros for now.
So I'll just go off of what you said about, like, the compensation or whatever real quick, because I think I was talking to Micah about this earlier. I think a lot of people say, like, the main issue with teaching is the pay and that you don't get paid for what you do. And I agree with that, but I actually was kind of saying for me, that's not the main issue, because I'm thinking, like, sure, there's a lot of jobs that have higher salaries than teaching. I think the problem is like you're not paid for the extent of what you do, because I can live on a teacher's salary. Like I was telling her, I was like, if I were a single mom or something, mm-hmm. teacher salary would be really rough. But like me, if I were just on my own or me married, it's not, you know, we're not like super struggling on a public school teaching salary. And we're fortunate for that. Like I know a lot of people do have to work other jobs, but I think for me, the problem is just the mental toll that all of it takes on you. It's like, I feel like I should get more for what you're putting into it. So for me, or I guess I should start with the positive too. I genuinely really like what I'm teaching right now, because like you said, you build a relationship with the kids, and right now I'm teaching literature. So that's like ideal. If I were going to be successful at teaching, this is the context, is like, I get to repeat lessons. I'm not prepping something new for every 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I get to repeat lessons because I'm in middle school. I, get to teach the content I actually really like. It's like reading, a little bit of writing. And I feel like kids kind of buy into stories, even if they're not like school, mm-hmm. like if they're not driven or motivated by like earning good grades, and they're like, I don't like learning, I don't like reading and math. Like they can get sucked into a story, and then all of a sudden they're interested. They want to like participate. And so I do like that about what I'm currently doing, because they get excited about it. But yeah, my main con, I would agree with the timing thing. Like you're always taking work home. But I honestly, this has been the case for especially recently, but I would say a good chunk of as long as I've been teaching, I feel like I just live in survival mode mm-hmm. while I'm at work. And I was telling Micah too, I feel like if you want to do a good job, and like you were saying, if you want to have best practices mm-hmm. during that time you're with your kids, you are in charge of teaching them, which sometimes feels like the thing that somehow goes to the back burner.
Yeah.
You're in charge of teaching them, creating engaging lessons that they're going to want to be a part of, mm-hmm. differentiating to their different learning styles. Mm-hmm. Different kids have IEPs. They have plans that you have to modify things for them specifically. You have to be in communication with their parents and with the administration. You have to set aside the time to plan and do all your grades, which I will tell you never gets done during your plan time.
Yep.
And then the biggest thing out of all of that is managing behavior, because as you're trying to do all of that and juggle all of those things, it feels like putting out fires mm-hmm. to me mm-hmm. where it's like, you know, depending on the group of kids, I know it changes, but I would say overall though, it's like, you know, I'm addressing this kid who's doing something they shouldn't on this side of the room. And so I'm ignoring some of these other kids who are also probably doing something they mm-hmm. shouldn't, because you have to decide in that moment, like, what battles am I picking? Mm-hmm. What am I going to take care of? You're constantly making the decision. Like, you know, what consequences do this behavior deserve? You know, do I let this fair. Slide? Yes, is this fair? Is this consistent with what the school wants? You know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's little things that just add up. And other times it's like, there are big behavior issues. And so I'm like, are my other kids even learning as this is happening? Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's like, just, it feels impossible to juggle all of that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm just surviving my time in the classroom, which doesn't feel good for me. And it's also not best for them. So right. that's yeah. my biggest con, I would say, mm-hmm. out of everything.
Yeah. The mental toll.
The mental yes. toll is a big a deal. Lot.
I was also talking with my co-teacher about, like, I feel like if teachers were paid hourly, or even just like write down the hours you work outside of what we expect you to work, mm-hmm. like, I feel like that would be nice.
You wouldn't feel like you're being robbed yeah. of your personal right. time if you're like, okay, I still am.
Because we added it up one time.
It was terrible. And why did we do that?
We're like, all right, let's average like what we get paid for a year.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do all the hours that we work. For and day. It was something like as little as like $3 an hour.
An
like
hour. That.
Maybe like two something.
It was bad.
And it was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Why so am I like killing myself?
I know.
You almost have to decide, like, am I going to let my lesson quality suffer? Am I going to let my personal life suffer? Am I going to not make time to exercise? Am I going to not mm-hmm. make time to like go do these other things that are good for me because my lessons aren't ready for tomorrow, or yeah. I haven't graded this thing from 3 days ago, or whatever, mm-hmm. or a week ago.
Yeah, before spring break.
Yes, yes. And you almost have to choose, like, okay, well, what am I going to let slide because I literally can't do it all? Yeah. Which I want to say, too. Like, I know that happens in other jobs, too, where people just have way more on their plate than they're able to take care of. Mm-hmm. But it's that there's this expectation, though. Like, mm-hmm. do here is what we are expecting of you.
Yeah.
Let alone, like, best practice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had to, like, let some of the stuff I learned in college about best practice and teaching, I'm like, but how? Like, I have to almost let that go as someone who, like, I want to do my best. I want it to be perfect. Like, I almost have to be like, well, sorry, that's not what we're working with right now.
Yeah.
Right.
You said, I think the original question, which I don't know if we talked about it yet, was, like, our expectations versus, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. reality. And I'm just, like, to go along with the, like, what you learned at college, you have to just kind of forget. Like, I felt like I was so ready to get in my own classroom, like student teaching and everything. I was like, this is great. Love it. And then my first year, I also taught in Honduras. I get into my classroom. I have 35 kindergartners who don't speak English. Mm-hmm. And like, I literally cannot do anything that I learned.
No.
Right. Because it does not apply.
Right.
And so it was like relearning. And I feel like that's something like you have to do every year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like, I felt like, I loved learning about teaching.
Yes.
And like everything. I was like, ooh, I can't wait to like implement this. And then it's like, it's almost impossible to implement. Like it just, I was not expecting that. So I guess that would be like my biggest like shock of like, oh, this did not meet my expectations. I thought I could actually teach, but I can't. So
especially now, like post pandemic, like there was a professor from our university that shared something
on Facebook.
Yes. That was like, I'm sorry, I didn't teach you how to teach online or create educational videos to share with your kids when they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I didn't teach you how to make plexiglass shields to go around your desks. And like,
yeah,
I feel like that is definitely hard about education. Like as much as they try and give you professional development and ways of like keeping up, it's just like things change so fast.
They do. Even the teachers that, you know, they've been doing this for years and years, and they tell you like, you know, oh, it'll get easier, or like you can reuse this or whatever. It's like, honestly though, a lot of it you can't. Like, I, of course, right now I don't feel like a first year teacher, which I did for a few years in a row. I changed jobs, but like there are things now that I can relax more about than 2 years ago, but also like you do constantly have to be reworking, redeveloping stuff to be able to make it applicable to who you're working with. And like everything changes so fast, like your curriculum changes, like best practice changes. And so I feel like even the ones who are like 10 years down the road, you'll be able, I'm like, I don't think so, because I think we're going to be reinventing things 10 years down the road. Just like the veteran teachers that I've been working with that have been there for forever had to learn how to do things like create everything online and, you know, do different materials and whatever. So even if you're like, I think I've got this now, it's like, well, you're probably going to have to rethink everything you're doing pretty soon to keep up with the times. Mm-hmm. So even that is not really like a thing to hope for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did think of another con, unfortunately. No, but
I've got a list of a couple more.
This one also though might be kind of me, my personality. I have learned that I don't think my personality matches up with like today's educational system, which makes me sound 50 years old. But no, I'm serious though. Like all the things you imagined, like even learning how to teach or like growing up thinking of being a teacher, I'm like, that's not what it is. And my personality, I don't think fits this.
Yeah.
Right.
Part of that I've realized is that as a teacher, maybe people don't think of you this way. This is how I think of myself, is that when kids fail, when students choose not to try, they decide they don't care, you can't make them do anything. You can't. You can tell them what to do. You can ask them to do things. You can give consequences. But like, so kids literally that don't care, like there are kids who are going to fail regardless of who their teacher is. And I don't like that it feels like my fault.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am showing up here every day. I am committing to working hard. I'm going to do what I can, like check things off my to-do list. I'm going to show up for these kids. I'm going to do my lesson. I'm going to follow through on stuff. But literally there can be kids who decide they're not going to try, who will turn in zero assignments for a whole quarter. And then like, you know, that reflects on me.
Right.
And maybe other people aren't seeing it that way, but like I put that on myself, or like when kids behave terribly in my room, I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, is my principal or other teachers thinking like I am doing something wrong if this kid's doing this, when it's like, it's not my fault.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we have to provide behavior management. Just like if you were a parent and you never disciplined your kid, they're probably not going to act the way you want them to. Like you do have a responsibility, but at some point there are certain choices and behaviors and academic practices they're going to do that it's like, it's not your fault, but it feels like it is.
Yeah.
So I think I add that extra weight also onto myself that I'm like, there's so much every day that you're walking into that's unpredictable. And that to me is really tough as well, mentally. That adds to the mental toll we were talking about.
Another con.
keep them coming.
How many should we list?
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing I wanted, like that I was thinking through a lot is I feel like a lot of teachers lack the support that they need, the encouragement they need, whether it's from like society as a whole, thinking like teaching is
easy
and it can't be that bad, or parents, like, I don't know. I feel like there are times where as a teacher, I have been the opposite of encouraged by parents, like put down by parents, or
things are your problem.
Yeah. Like things are my fault, and administration too. Like, I don't know. I just kind of wish there was more appreciation, more support, more encouragement. I will say that like, a prior job, I had a very supportive administration, and I think the supportive administration encouraged the parents to also be supportive. And
that can make or break it.
Yes. My outlook on teaching was a lot better in that situation, because I don't know, it's just like getting small gifts from kids of like, thanks for being my teacher, is just like so motivating.
Yeah.
And having your administration say like, you know what, we want to give you an extra break, so use it when you want, and here's a little coupon for a free break, and I'll come teach your class. Like,
that's
nice. Yes, I had a principal like, I want to teach one of your classes and give you an extra break, and that's, it was just so like sweet. Time. Yeah, but like one time in the whole year, I'm like,
that's a morale boost though for your staff. Like when they're like, how can we support our teachers? That is the kind of stuff that you're like, that's nice. And then also your admin sees like what it's like again, because for a lot of them, it's been a long time since they've been doing that.
Right. I feel like we just need more like people to recognize this job is hard and help us out a little bit.
I have a thought along the lines of that, the administration too. So again, that's another job. I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I'm not, you know, trying to say their job is easy, because it's not either. Like, especially the principal I have now, he does a lot and he is always busy and like dealing with behavior stuff and parents literally calling the school and yelling at him over the phone. I'm like, I don't want to mess with that. But I will say right now I have kind of the opposite thing that you have, a really good supportive administration. And I had a school though where it most definitely was not. And it felt like we weren't backed up by, I feel like if there's not a strong administration, like the teachers have no authority, the teachers have no support. And so everything you do, it's like, well, sorry, I hope this works, because if not, like I've got nothing else. Yeah. So like we had, if I would send kids to the office, they'd send them right back. They wouldn't have consequences. Yep. They would ask me if like something happened among the kids, like again, kids making their own choices. They'd be like, well, you know, why wasn't an adult right there? I'm like, well, I can't monitor every conversation.
Right.
So I feel like that is also, that could be a pro or a con depending on like what kind of school you're working at. Because, you know, if it's admin that's going to support you and give you a break and give you encouragement, that's so much better than if you know you're not going to be backed up or they're always going to take someone else's side or whatever. Because I was telling Micah this earlier too, like I feel like now the thing that schools do is promote mental health for teachers. Like, but what that often looks like is just sending you articles or like, hey, you can take these classes. It's like, we are overwhelmed with what we need to do. When would you like us to take a class about taking care of ourselves? It's like, so I love that idea. I've never even heard of someone doing that, but that is a huge pro if you've got supportive admin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say another con, because you guys have covered a lot of my cons. But I've worked at like two different private schools, and I think one of the challenging things about working at a private school is like the boundaries. Just there's lack of resources, and so teachers are asked to do a lot more, and usually it's like, oh, it's because you love Jesus, or like,
yeah,
because you're supposed to serve. Yeah. And so I think a lot of boundaries are crossed, and like there's, yeah, not that extra support or that extra like rest that you need to get away, or like to have that mental health, because it's like, oh, but you can do more. We don't have anyone else. We need you.
Like, right.
This needs to happen, but you love Jesus, so it's fine. And I think that, I think was the hardest thing, because it's almost like it's manipulation. Like,
right. Yes,
it's it is. Not okay. Like, because if you read the Bible, Jesus went away many times to rest. Like, mm-hmm. And I feel like that's not modeled.
And
in
he
teaching,
said no,
especially like
to certain situations, teaching. Like other people needed him, and he didn't.
Yeah,
he heal
stepped
everyone.
Away.
Yeah,
and yeah, so that's a big con.
I will say that too. Just if people are listening to this who are considering going to teaching, which again, I hope it doesn't come off on like everything's bad, and because but these are honest experiences.
There are a lot of hardships.
Well, what I was gonna say about that is, you more than likely, again, depending on where you go, will be expected to do extra. Meaning you're supposed to do all the lessons and planning and grading and all the stuff that we said you already don't have time for. But a lot of schools will ask you in your interviews, like, what could you coach or sponsor also?
Right.
That
right.
is outside your work time.
Yep.
You get paid more, obviously, or you should.
Sometimes.
Okay. That's true. I was at a school where I was asked to do something I didn't get paid extra for. And yep. I said yes, because I felt like I had to.
Yeah.
Right.
We're like subbing in classes for
you
breaks.
Will get asked to sub
during
your plan time, which is when you're supposed to somehow, you know, get also your planning done. But so we get asked to sub sometimes too. But I was going to say, like, you have to be prepared for them to say, like, what can you coach? What can you also sponsor? Can you mm-hmm. be in charge of this club or group or whatever? And some people love it.
Right.
Some people love that time to interact with their kids outside of the classroom. And I could see the benefits of that.
Yeah.
In 5 years of teaching, have never been like, oh yeah, I want to add more. I mm-hmm. want to do this extra thing outside of my work hours, because I feel so just drained at the end of it.
Yeah.
But it's almost like frowned upon to not do something extra. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you're almost looked on as like, oh, you're lazy.
You're not
or like
your
you're
weight.
Not yeah, mm-hmm. doing enough. And because I've also coached as well. And like there are many times where I'm spending like 13, 14 hours at school, and then I'm like, you got to go back the next day. And like,
yeah, you feel like you've worked all day and you have
all
home night, time to sleep.
And
like, then
yeah, and you just start back over. And so if you do plan on going to teaching, make sure rest is a priority mm-hmm. in your life. Take a Sabbath, do something.
Okay. this is bad. The parts I enjoy of teaching, that like I do like getting to collaborate with other adults. I realize that is not the main part of that. Again, that's one of the reasons I'm realizing I should not teach right now in my life, is that I like am thriving during the times that I get to collaborate with other adults on like planning and stuff like that. So like I really enjoy that. And again, when things are going smoothly, I enjoy the teaching part of it too. But I do think it's nice, because a lot of jobs like are not like a team oriented thing. And again, depending on your school, I feel like you do get that with teaching. A lot of places that you go is like, you either have a department you work with, or like a co-teacher, or your wing of the whatever. Like there's usually other people that you're kind of coming up with stuff together. You can bounce ideas off of those people. You collaborate. So I've enjoyed that part of it, because it feels like a team effort, and it feels like people all coming together to try to brainstorm and like problem solve. And I really enjoy that, as opposed to just feeling like I'm doing everything by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say a positive that I had was just like seeing kids learn. That is really cool when like, especially like the kid who's struggling, like,
yeah,
they got
oh,
100%.
It.
Like,
yep.
And like teaching like kindergarten, like they're learning to read, recognize letters and words and whatever. They're like, look, I can do it. Like, and like sounding out words to write. And like, that's really exciting. Especially like those that are like at the beginning, maybe didn't even know how to spell their name or didn't know like the alphabet. And then like, the end of the year, you can see like such a difference, and like that is rewarding. And sometimes it's super hard to be
like focus on that because there is so much like
the small moment in the chaos.
Yeah,
so,
like, yeah. Taking hold of like, okay, there are like these good moments, these really cool things. I think I already said this, but kids are just funny. Like,
they are funny.
They are. Like, I don't think you can teach without laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like,
daily.
There may be a lot of tears also, but like, there's just.
Sometimes you have to try not to laugh when you shouldn't and you want to laugh. Like, I've had to literally like bite the inside of my cheek to keep from cracking up at something that I need to like get on the kid. Like, you cannot talk like that. And I want to laugh.
There have been times where I've been like, I'm thankful I'm wearing a mask during this pandemic because it's hiding all of my facial expressions.
Yes. I've had to say some like very aggressive prayers under my mask.
Yeah.
But I've also been like trying so hard not to laugh because I need to tell a kid like, hey, actually you can't say that.
Yep.
But I think it's hilarious and I'm going to be laughing about it later.
Yep.
Okay. I want to, oh, go ahead.
No.
Okay, so I wanted to say too, because you were talking about kids like realizing things and learning things. I love when like, I've taught kids like a concept or a vocab word or something, and you hear them just like bring it up casually in conversations with other kids, or you hear your students like basically teaching something to another kid that you taught them. You're like, oh my gosh, they were listening. They did get it. Mm-hmm. And it just feels really, it does feel rewarding to like see the fruit of your labors. Like, you're like, oh, they actually are, you know, catching on. It's because sometimes literally, as much as we talk about the chaos and kids being loud and shouting out, like sometimes I have also been teaching to a class that just looks at me like just silently without responding. And they're just looking at me like, why? And so like, sometimes you don't get the feedback you need to know, you know, where they're at. And so, I love hearing when they're just like naturally using on their own concepts and skills that you've taught them. Is really nice.
Made me think, I know we're gonna probably share stories later, but the words I love to teach little kids, like bigger words or like good synonyms. And so like my favorite word to teach kids is repulsive. And so we were talking about it, and like with kindergarten you gotta make sure people aren't picking their nose all the time, so perfect example of repulsive. And so then we go to lunch and one of my students runs up to me, it's like, these green beans are repulsive. And I just thought that was so funny. I'm like, yes, you use that word. Like,
you should eat green beans, but good vocab.
Thank you for using the word.
That's funny. That's funny. I will also say, like, I think some of the times that I feel like teaching is really rewarding is even, I hate to say it, but outside of academics, like when I know that I have even just like made a kid enjoy school or like they have had a special bond with me. And like, I remember, after 1 year, it was like a year that I was transitioning and moving on to another school. And I had a parent email me, and it was like the last day of school. And the parent emailed me and said, my daughter cried all night because she knew that tomorrow was going to be her last day with you. And so just like knowing that kids like coming to school, like their relationship with me, and hoping that like maybe one day they'll grow up and remember, like, I remember Miss O, she was teacher. Like, I feel like that is one of my favorite parts of teaching for sure.
Definitely.
To go along with that, we have like just today, our grandma is in the hospital right now, and she, like, one of my former students' mom works at the hospital, and she like had, I guess, saw the our last name on the chart and like walked by. She's like, oh, I recognize that name, and like talked to my grandma, and we're like, oh, I miss Micah. Like, she was such a good teacher. And like, it's been at least 2 years since I've taught her daughter. And it's like, that's so cool. Like, yeah, those relationships that you form, like, even the parents are like, they remember you.
Yeah.
And like the fact that she went and like checked on a family member, didn't know who it was going to be, but like, oh, you have that last name. Like, just super sweet. Yeah.
That is sweet.
Some of them really do end up having you as like their safe person, or like school is their safe place. And so as wild as you think they act at school, like sometimes I have to remind myself, I'm like, you know what? Their home life is not dependable. And this is where they come and they are treated well. And they know that we're not going to let other people disrespect them here and whatever. So I feel like that also, when you realize kids come up to you and they start talking to you and they're being honest and they tell you about their life, like they trust you. You clearly have, made some sort of impression that they feel like they can do that. And that is really cool too, to be able to be somebody's like safe person. And
or like whenever they move on to the next grade and then they come see you after school and like, you are a better teacher. And like, give you hugs. Like, I miss you. I wish I was still in your class. Like, that does feel good.
I do like that you don't like your current teacher. Yep.
Or like, I don't know, one of my friends has happened to today and it made me think of like when like other teachers recognize like your patience and your love for kids. Cause there would be like so many times where like I would be sent the like quote unquote bad kid like from other grades because like, okay, she can handle them. And like, obviously it's super frustrating because you're like, okay, I have my own crazy to deal with. Like, let me add another one. But like, I feel like I got to know like so many other kids in the school because they're like, okay, you're just going to be in her class for now, like until you can get your work done and then come back. And one of my friends was saying that that happened to her and she was going to get one of the more challenging students. She's like, yeah, I just feel super honored that like they like want the like this kid to be in my class and like recognizing
that's
like
cool.
That is like that is a, like I don't know if blessing is the right word, but like it is an honor,
kind
like,
of a compliment.
Yeah, that's the word. Like
it's a blessing.
Recognizing,
a hidden blessing.
A hidden blessing.
I wanted to say too, again, for people who may be thinking about becoming a teacher, you really do care about the kids a lot and you do want like to invest in them and stuff, even if it's kids that don't, you feel like they don't listen, you're like, am I even getting through to them?
There's
you end up caring,
love you
yes, you end up caring so much about them. And like I literally had to tell this whole class of students that I loved them. I had to, because one of them raised their hand and said, do you love me? And they were most definitely just trying to get people to laugh at them and get attention, but I was like, you know what, yes I do. I said, I love all of you. I was like, I, as humans, like, you gotta be clear. I'm like, I love you as people. I was like, I hope that you're all successful. Like, I want the best for you, whatever. And gave them this little sappy speech and whatever. And they were just kind of like, oh, because some of them were being sassy, but they're like, this teacher hates me. I'm like, I guarantee you they do not. Like,
maybe in some
we
moments,
do not.
But...
Right. We might hate some of the stuff you do. And yes, we lose our patience too, just like anyone else. But I'm like, we show up every day here because we want, you know, what's best for you. So if you're passionate about it and you want to help people, this is definitely a career that you can do that. I do want to throw out, like, we do need good teachers. We need people who want to do it and who are passionate. And, like, we clearly started off with those feelings and it has been maybe just burnout is the right term. But, like, if you want to try it, and you're interested and you want to help people and you like learning and stuff, like some people, it is for them. There's people that even though there's been the tough times that I know still want to teach and still have that feeling like there's nothing else I'd rather do.
Yeah.
And so that might be you.
Yep. Could be.
Could be.
Maybe. You never know.
Burnout is so real though.
Burnout
it
is
so, like,
real.
Yeah.
You, I feel like to avoid it, and if you're teaching,
go to counseling.
Can't hurt. I was going to say, you absolutely, to survive, you absolutely have to be able to find a work-life balance. And I remember, you will develop it. Like, and I remember whenever I had my first year at the school I'm at now, I had to go to this professional development trip thing with these older teachers. And I remember this moment of me saying, like, they're talking about, again, like work-life balance or something. And I remember saying out loud to them during my first year of teaching, I was like, yeah, I said, I really have told myself like once it's 8 o'clock, I have to, you know, stop working on school. And I could just see them give each other this look like,
yeah,
oh, this poor girl's working till 8 o'clock every night on her school stuff. But I'm like, I actually have to survive tomorrow. So like, I feel like you cannot continue that though. So like first year teacher, probably it's going to happen. Honestly, like we said, things change. You got to keep up with it. I currently have the best work-life balance I've had yet as a teacher, but it's because I have been able to use some of like kind of recycle some of my stuff before. And honestly, sometimes it's because I just refuse. I'm like, no, I'm not going to work on this right now. Like I will have brought things home in my bag because I tell myself at school, I have to do this. I have to take it home. And then I get home and I was like, I just worked actually all day. So no, I will not be taking that out of my bag. And then do I regret it sometimes? Yes. Do I have to like do some things last minute sometimes? Yes. But it's like, you need that moment for your sanity.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to make time to eat and to socialize and to, you know, do things that refill you or you're not going to make it. You're you're going to be in, like what I've been saying, is like survival mode.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not sustainable.
Also, a lot of prayer and coffee helps too.
That's true.
Yep.
That's how I survived.
Yep.
That is accurate.
There was a Starbucks
and pray for your students too. I feel like that helps me, especially when I am annoyed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is a person I need to pray for. Or even like as I'm driving into the town where my school is, I'm like, I should pray for whoever's houses I'm passing, because that humanizes people. If you're having a problem with anybody, praying for them will really like help you be like, okay, I do not actually, you know, wish harm to this person. I want what's best for them. You remind yourself of that. Cause like when you're angry or whatever, you're like, I just don't want to be around whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them. Yeah. That helps me a lot.
There was many mornings where like, before the kids would come, I would just go around, touch the desks, and like just pray for like the kids and their family. And then I'm like, all right, let me just like pray over my whole classroom because like
I've done that.
We need a lot of peace in here because there's about to be wild.
Like, pray for, I would pray for God's presence in my classroom too.
I heard one teacher say that she prayed every time she turned the lights on and off.
Oh,
like it was a good reminder of like turning the lights on, God be the light that fills the room, and just like, when you turn the lights off, just like pray for them as they go home. And like, I love that. I feel like I just need to put a note next to my light in my classroom of just like a reminder to pray.
That is a good reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I remember having to pray, like whenever I finally settle down for the night, I remember just praying like, thank you for this day, Lord. And thank you that it's over.
Yeah.
And I, a lot of times, just had to say that and be like, I am grateful I made it through another day.
Yep.
Because, like I said, in theory, especially if it's year one, like, it will get better.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta find...
<In theory. laughs>
I have to say in theory because it is, it's just
it
rough.
It may not.
And it may not. And then at that point, you have to decide for yourself what is best. So I don't want this to sound like everyone quit. But maybe at this point in the podcast, we should talk about, like...
Why?
Well... Where we are all at now,
yes,
mentally, emotionally, towards teaching. Mm-hmm. If we quit, why? If we're about to quit, why? If we're still going but thinking about quitting, why?
Yep.
Let's just do a little.
All right, I'll go first. So I quit. So I did my 4 years and retired.
Oh, time out. I'm sorry. Time out. Real quick. A con of teaching. I'm sorry. Real quick. It's different by states, but literally right now, if I were to retire from teaching, which I will not be doing, I think it's like late 60s at this point.
Oh yeah.
You have to retire. Just throwing that out there. Look into retirement. If you're going to teach and you want to do it forever, like, sorry, the end. Okay. I'm
sorry.
Done.
Okay.
Well, I might cut that out, but I just have to say.
Back to me. So, I was not in a good spot mentally, and just all of the cons that we talked about were adding up, and I was not resting. I was just saying yes to too many things at school, and there's big burnout and not a lot of like support and nothing else to give. And I also, like, the school I taught at was a private school, and so like parents are paying tuition, and like I just, since I had nothing to give, I just felt super guilty. Like, I can't stay here. And like, people told me I was doing a good job. I didn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I couldn't give any. And I was like, these parents can't be paying for their kids to go here if I don't like care.
You don't feel like you're doing a good job.
I don't feel like I can give them anything that they need. And so, and then I also had a good excuse of getting an internship overseas that I could be like, okay, I'm going to be gone for a few months, so I can't say yes. So I think that was like God's like nice, like blessing of like allowing me an excuse besides me just saying like, I feel like death. And so, I've definitely had to like since struggle with like, oh, did I fail? Cause I went to school for 4 years and got into a lot of debt to become a teacher, and then I only taught 4 years. But honestly, like, when I quit, that was 2020. So, like, I taught my last few months as a teacher during, like, online and stuff. And honestly, like, that was my favorite time of teaching.
Yeah.
Just that was before everything got like,
which is how you super, know it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super like detailed. And like, obviously the next school year, there was a lot more hardships with like teaching online and stuff. But yeah, I felt like that was just such a good spot mentally for me to be like, oh, I just felt like I could breathe again and I wasn't mm-hmm. drowning. So that was why I stepped away. But it was also kind of like a sad thing. Like I felt like, all right, I made the decision I wasn't going to go back, but then I didn't get my like full ending. And so.
Because you told them while everyone was from home, right?
Yeah, it was okay. During that. And so like, it was like, oh, we'll be back in a few weeks, and then never came back. And so like, that felt like a weird, like, I didn't have full closure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the last like almost 2 years, I think have been like really nice and healing for me and my mindset towards teaching. And I don't know if I'll ever like be in the classroom again, because that doesn't sound enjoyable, but like, I think I slowly getting to the point where I could be like, all right, I could like dabble in things with education mm-hmm. or like if I would do stuff, maybe do like pull out and like mm-hmm. do like ESL or something like that. But for now, I'm not like seeking out stuff. Like any sort of job in that aspect. Like I do a kids program once a week in the evenings, and that's good enough for me right now. Mm-hmm. Except for I'm used to like little children, and now I'm dealing with middle school boys. So
yeah.
That's a whole new ball game that I'm trying to learn, but it's been it's been fun, and I get a little like taste of like that teaching kind of aspect of it, but just being around kids for a bit, and then mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, hour and a half a week rather than like 40 plus hours, so this is good. Right. Good change.
Yep.
So that's me. That's where mm-hmm. I'm at.
Okay. So I think this is year 5 of like full-time teaching for me. And I have felt, I think for most of the time I've been teaching, like again, the whole survival mode thing. So I officially, as of this year, there's 2 months left of the school year. I have applied and been offered another job.
Yeah!
And I have not officially, as at the time of recording this, accepted it, but I plan to accept it. I think we're moving forward. And honestly, I kind of have some bittersweet feelings about it. Like, I was talking to another friend about this, and she said the same thing happened. Like, as soon as she said she wasn't coming back, she's like, oh, I felt nostalgic immediately. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like that. And maybe it's like what you said, like I trained for this. This is what I always wanted and whatever. But I also feel like I'm not doing a great job, and I don't feel like I can do a great job and also take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I'm kind of maybe in a little bit of a different spot. Maybe it's because I have a light at the end of the tunnel and I'm on spring break. And so I feel more positive. But I would say right now, I am quitting teaching. I'm going to do a different type of job. I don't know that I'm shutting the door forever to teaching. I think that the good things about teaching, if I could find that in another job that's maybe not the K-12 system, then maybe I would do that. Maybe kind of what you're saying, I could maybe do something with ESL. Maybe, not that I'm saying that's an easy job, but like teaching adults, or I could do something more volunteer based or work with kids at church. I think if I get a break, like Micah was saying, and do something else, I might then have the capacity to come back as a healthier human to be able to serve others well, because yes, it's the survival mode. It's literally, I've been so like stressed and anxious, I can't eat in the mornings, or I've woken up like having the thought like, if someone had stolen my car in the night, I wouldn't have to go to work. It's like, I should not be sitting here wishing my car was stolen.
Yeah.
Yes. Having dreams, even when it's not the school year, having nightmares about teaching, which I have heard from like other people that is the case for them too. So I think for now I am moving on to something else. Mm-hmm. Maybe God has some sort of teaching for me in my future, and I'm not completely closed off to that, but it is not sustainable for me to do this type of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was telling Micah today, even if we have kids, that might be enough of like me being able to use what I've learned and feel like it, you know, is helpful. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am echoing kind of similar to things that both of you have said, but like, I just feel like I'm 100% in burnout mode right now. Like, there are days where I wake up and I'm like, there's nothing in me that wants to get out of bed and go to work.
No.
Like, I just go through my day and feel the stress piling up and leave school in tears. And yeah, there's like in survival mode. And I feel like I'm going to be in that mode. Like, how do you get out of burnout? I don't know. Yeah. So I feel like I'm going to be in that mode till the end of the year, but who knows? Things could turn around. But like I said earlier, I've never considered another job. So now I'm like, well, I do feel burnout in teaching. Mm-hmm. It is hard. And I think our education system needs to change.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And so part of me want, like, I'm thinking about stepping away and seeing if changes happen. And then I've also just like been researching other jobs that are education related, but not exactly teaching. Like, whether it's working for a ed tech company or tutoring or I don't know. So I'm kind of in this mode of, I think I'm burning out. I don't know if I'm ready to give it up because I've loved it for so long, but a break does sound nice. And I'm also just transitioning a lot in life anyway. So part of me wants to step away and just enjoy life. Like, I don't want my job to make me look back on these times and regret anything. So I don't know what life holds for me, but yeah, definitely burnt out.
Yeah.
So
you made me think of one more thought that's not positive, and then we can talk afterwards. But you said like not wanting to look back on this time of life. Like, another reason I realized this is, it's not good, is I was literally like just wishing my days away and my weeks away. I'm like, I cannot wait until 3 o'clock. I cannot wait until Friday. I cannot wait until May. And I realized, like, I'm turning 30 this year. I was like, I do not want to spend, like, I've spent a good chunk of my 20s just waiting, like just surviving until the next break. That's it. Just trying to make it, like, literally wishing the days away, not enjoying weeknights, not like barely. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to wish my 30s away because I've wished, you know, like
wished away the 20s.
And, so not, and that sounds a little dramatic. Like, I haven't actually wished away my 20s, but I have wished away a lot of time. You spend a lot of time at your job. So if it makes you feel like that, I just feel like that can't. And I even like was like, is this normal? Like, I was asking people, if you know, who like their jobs. I'm like, do you like sit there and wish for a Friday? And they're like, no. Like, I'm like, what's it like to like forget what day it is? Or like, like, you, as a teacher, you're like,
always know the exact day.
I just recently shared something on my Instagram, and I have a lot of teacher friends just from college and stuff, but I shared something that was like, are there any other teachers who have anxiety on Sunday night thinking
Sunday
about
scaries.
Monday?
Or, people call it Sunday scaries on Instagram.
And
I see it.
Like, I got more responses on that Instagram post than like anything I've ever done. And I'm like, I feel like teachers in general are just in this boat of like, we're all worn out. I don't know if it's pandemic. I don't know if it's,
I think it's a system.
Yeah.
I think we could do a whole episode about just things in the education system. Like, honestly, a lot of it is not serving kids well the way it's set up either. So there does need to be big change. And I don't know if that's in the near future or not, but there does for it to be effective for kids too, not just the teachers. But
For
sure.
Anyway, should we share some funny ones?
Yeah.
Let me do a little.
Switch things up.
All right. Last little teaching segment. Here we go. We're going to share things that were either funny, just can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
All right.
You want me to start?
Yes.
Okay. My favorite teaching story ever, and I tell this to everyone, and you probably have heard it already, but it's just my favorite, and it wasn't my favorite in the moment. Like, I was fuming. Okay. So anyway, this happened when I was teaching in Honduras, and I had a student who had anger issues and was very defiant, and just every day was a struggle. Like, I never knew if he was going to jump out the window or if he was just going to leave my class or if he would, like, it was something new every day. If he was going to flip his chair, like he couldn't help it. Poor kid. But every day was a challenge. And there were a lot of days where my limits were, I mean, like, I didn't have patience for him. So it was one of those days where I was at my limit and this student was just pushing and pushing and I just could not take it anymore. And his comments while I was teaching were not okay. And I was like, okay, I need you to step out into the hall or step out of the classroom. He didn't. And so I just kept teaching. I was like, I don't know what else to do at this point. I was so frustrated. I could feel that my face was red. Mm-hmm. I was like, this kid is just driving me nuts. So I was like, I'm just going to try and ignore him and keep teaching. And so I kept trying to teach this lesson. I don't even remember what I was teaching. And as I continue to teach, this kid looks at me and goes, boo. And he just starts booing me in the middle of my class. And in the moment, like, I was so furious. And I was like, I just remember pointing to the door and I was like, get out. Like, I don't even know at this point. I don't know what else to say to you. Just like, get out of my classroom.
Get out.
And I didn't laugh about it that day. Like, I remember I almost cried. I was like, I've never had someone boo me teaching in a class. But now I look back on it and I'm like, that was hilarious.
That is so funny.
That was hilarious. And he was a third grader. He was a third grader. Just like, I remember just like, he looked at me square in my face and was just like, boo. I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
I love that so much. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious.
All right.
This story, it wasn't like done to me. And this is a moment where I definitely had to try not to laugh because this kid was being so rude. So this is when I taught second grade. And I had this very bright student in my class who was probably much smarter than everyone in the class. But his mom had told him that he needs to like watch what he says to others. And so he's like, yeah, I'm a brainiac, but my mom says I can't like tell people. And this other, this little girl who had some learning challenges, like not extreme, like she wasn't diagnosed with anything like that, but like she struggled a little bit more. She was like, I'm a brainiac too. And he's like, well, you have to be able to spell brainiac to be a brainiac. And it was super clever, but it was just like so rude. And like, I had to like try so hard not to laugh because I was like, I mean, fair point, but yep, you can't say that to people. And just so matter of fact. And yeah,
it was
a mess.
Okay. I just thought of a few of just like things kids have said to me that I'm like, why did that just come out of your mouth? Okay. First one, I just told them this a second ago. I can't remember the context. I wish I could. I literally had a student, we talk about middle school boys, raise his hand and ask me if I was a virgin in class in front of the other. I was like, I think I just immediately like was like, you have to go to the office. Like, I didn't even try to like have a conversation about why that was inappropriate. I'm like, excuse me? He wrote me this whole apology letter that I'm sure like was dictated to him, like, you need to write whatever. Mm-hmm. He wrote this whole apology letter, but I was like, oh my gosh, like, I bet most people didn't go to work today and get asked that. I forgot to put on my eyeliner one day, and I was like, oh, I wonder how long it'll take before the kids say something to me. And they're like, excuse me, you forgot to put on your eyelashes today. So I was like, rude. Like, they will notice what you're wearing, you look like. I recently had a kid look at me and say, you look like you haven't slept for a long time. Okay. What else? I feel like they just say some rude stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, they're very invested in your personal life. So, like I said, I'm almost 30. I don't have kids. So I had recently also a girl raised her hand and she was like, do you have kids? And I was like, no, I don't. She's like, do you want them? And I said, you know, we'll just see what happens. I don't know. She's like, but you're married, right? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, okay, well, if you have kids, I'll be your babysitter. Like, actually, that's not the first student who's offered to babysit my imaginary kids, but
that's funny.
Yeah. They just say whatever comes to their mind. Like, and a lot of them have filters and I commend them on their filters. Yeah. Sometimes they start to say something and they say, I shouldn't say that. I'm like, thank you so much for using your filter. That was very mature of you.
Yep.
Oh,
they love to point out, your flaws. I remember some of the little ones like would like point at like pimples, like, what are those red things?
Yes. Like, I'm like, you'll know one day.
Yeah, just wait. And I had one student who would always like depending on whatever my hair looked like, she'd be like, oh, you look like a ballerina today. And like then the next day she'd be like, you look like you play volleyball. You look like you, like she'd just switch whatever like sport I was gonna play based on my hairstyle. And then I had another student who I'm so confused by this, but she was like, you know what? You look like Billie Eilish. and then all the students started like saying like who I look like. And then she got like so upset that other students were like chiming in. She's like, oh, you look like, and then like, she's just now saying my name. Like, no, this is who she is. Like, you can't call her that, guys. And like, she's the one who started it all.
Oh my God. Okay, I just was looking through my phone because I wrote down a bunch of quotes from students. I used to work at a preschool. Then I got so many funny quotes. Like I said, the middle schoolers, they have a little more of a filter. I have to read this one, though. I had a student one time say, teacher, guess what? I said, what? And he goes, my mama doesn't sleep with no pants on. Should I read the rest of it? I said, maybe it was hot in your house. And he said, then she whooped me. And I said, well, did you do something bad? He said, no, I was looking at her with no pants on.
I have a notebook somewhere that has all the
books. I had to write this. I had a student ask me if he could have my number when I retire. So I'm sure he'll want it then.
What else? So funny.
I had a student in Honduras come up to me and say, Miss O, what are cooties? And I was like, they're diseases that people have, mostly boys. And I remember it was a boy and he looked at me and he was like, really? I heard girls have them too.
Really?
So funny.
This is not a quote, but I wrote down that my middle school students were enjoying playing bird box at recess. Like literally closing their eyes and having their friends lead them around.
My kids That's were playing amazing. Squid Games this year.
Oh, I was like, oh my God.
Don't know if we should play that.
I had, this one's a gross story.
Uh-oh.
So I had one of my brightest students, like, we thought, like, oh, you might be able to skip kindergarten or, like, just go ahead, go to first grade. No, this, like, proved the point that you should not. He goes to the bathroom, and he's gone for a bit, and then I have the second grader come and said that my student had thrown dirty underwear into it, like, the next stall.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, so then he comes back. And so I'm asking him, like, why would you throw that? He's like, well, there was poop on them, and I didn't want them. Oh. And, like, he just tosses his dirty underwear on someone else because he got poop on it.
Oh, no.
And so then it was really funny because his dad also worked at the school. And so, like, we, like, got a hold of him, and he had, like, just left because he only, like, taught half of the day and came back and, like, got onto him. And the kid comes back in the classroom. He's like, my daddy said if I ever do anything like that again, I won't be able to sit down.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh,
he never did anything again like that, so.
You, again, so funny. You will never be bored.
It's true. Nope.
I also today was talking with my kids about getting married soon.
Mm-hmm.
And they like started asking me, like, can we come to your wedding? Are we invited? Like, even if we don't get a meal, can we just like show up Aww. And just like see you? And then I had this one girl who was like, wait a minute. When you get married, you kiss. I don't want to see my teacher kiss anyone. Oh, and then everyone was like, hilarious. Oh, that's true.
They're like, boo.
Yeah, boo.
Trying to so think good. If there was anything else. I mean, like, behavior-wise, I just, something that I wanted to laugh in the moment, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Again, middle schoolers.
Yep.
There's this kid, and I told him he couldn't, like, be laying his head down on the desk trying to fall asleep. I go on, move on with my life. I'm talking to other kids. We're helping them. I look back over. He is laying down across several chairs. I said, you need to sit up in your seat. I go on with my life. I'm, you know, and I turn around and he's laying on the floor. I was like, get out.
Like, get out.
You cannot. Like, this is not like a little 3-year-old, but yeah. I'm like, no, you're like 14. You know how to sit in a chair. Get out of my room.
This is with not teaching, but the kids program I do. So last week I was having them like all lead something. And so I was like, you can teach us a lesson. We could play a game, whatever. Like, everyone's going to have a chance to be in charge. And so one kid, he's like, blacksmithing. And I'm like, how? Okay, how are we going to do that? I was like, you have zero budget. So good luck with that. He's like, it's going to be mental blacksmithing. And so he had like all the other kids like close their eyes and was like walking them through different steps of making something. And it was just like so bizarre. And I don't understand the process. I don't know. It was just very strange. Like middle school boys, we come up with mental blacksmithing. That's a thing now. So
how we want to spend our time.
I
don't have any others off the top of my head. I know. It's just stuff like that all the time.
I wish I had my notebook. It's somewhere with all the quotes and hilarious things that would get me through the day.
Yep.
You'll never be bored. You'll be mad at somebody, and then they'll instantly make you laugh like 2 minutes later, and you're like, all right, I can't be mad.
It's true.
Even though you weren't listening.
Another quote I had to say one time that I never thought I would have to say was, stop putting your head through your armhole. Like, this kid had taken his shirt off and was like trying to fit his head through his sleeve. I was like, that doesn't work. Go ahead.
Oh, I just thought of another story. This one's also gross. I had a student who would always like suck his like pointer finger and middle finger. Like, they just wouldn't always be in his mouth. So it's like trying to bribe him to like keep them out, and didn't work. And so I would always, like, when I would walk by and he had them in his mouth, I just like would squirt some hand sanitizer in it, and then he would just automatically always do like put them back, and he's like, it tastes good. And he would just like probably like poison the kid, which is not good. But like,
you just admitted it to the public.
I'm so sorry. He's still alive, it's fine. But it was so like, he would just like
clearly put
them
work.
In his mouth. No, it did not
like
work.
Like when you
at
spray
all.
Something for your pets to not eat something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, what a mess.
Yeah, I'm sure if I thought for a long time, I could think of a lot of stuff I should not have had to tell people not to do.
Yep.
That I have to tell them not to do.
Yep.
What I have to say multiple times a day is, if it's not yours, don't touch it.
Yep.
I said, this is a good
million percent
lesson.
Me too.
I said, learn this now. If it's not yours, don't touch it. Yep. I say that too many times a day.
Yep.
Stay in your bubbles.
Yes. Stay in your bubble.
I would always tell them not to pop my bubble. Like, this is my space. This is my bubble.
Well, you know what? COVID really helped with that. You know, if there was a positive, was like it helped them stay out of each other's space. But now my kids just like to say, they have consent to be in my space.
Right.
Is what they say. Yeah. I'm like, not in here. They don't get out of each other's space.
I know. I would always do that because kindergartners love to give everyone hugs and love to touch. And so we would always talk about like that consent, like you need to ask before you, like if anyone gives you a hug. So then they would always like run up close and like take a step back. Can I have a hug?
Like,
thank
nice
you for asking.
They
sometimes like I would be, you got to teach them no. And like, oh, not right now.
Sometimes
maybe
you're
ask me later.
Yeah.
Just wait. Like we don't need to touch people all the time. Like stop hanging on people.
Yep.
All right. Are we good?
Yes.
I think we covered all the bases.
All the bases have
so
been
too.
Covered.
All right.
I hope this brought laughs, but also,
some honesty.
Honesty
yes.
as well.
If you're
the hard
if
truth.
You were thinking about it, hopefully you got some reality, but
now
also
you're rethinking.
Well, but we also shared some things that we loved. So
it's true.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
If
for
you
listening.
Are a teacher, especially if you have funny stories, we would love to hear them. Also,
yes.
Micah commends you for being a teacher.
Yes.
You're doing good work.
You are.
Well done.
We need good teachers because
we do.
If we don't have good teachers, the world is not going to be good in the future. So
where are they?
Yep.
Where are
Sorry,
you at?
We're signing off.
Yep. We're quitting. So, well, I already quit. But we need more of you to step up.
Yep.
To take
step
our
up.
Place.
Doesn't it sound
take
fun?
Our place. Do the job that we don't want to do.
You'll love it.
You'll love it.
And on that encouraging note, thanks for listening.
See you next time.
'Thank you again for listening to another episode of the podcast. If you want to give feedback on this topic, share other topics you want to hear about, or share what you're grateful for, you can follow the Instagram page, Morning by Morning Podcast. I would love to hear from you. Remember to find something to be grateful for today.